thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for my wife, and thank God for the ministry and all that he's doing. We thank God for the praise team and ushering in the presence of the Lord. Truly, we bless the Lord tonight. And amen. If I had 1,000 tongues, I heard someone say I could not thank God enough. Amen. When you just watch the news, you see all of the tragedies and senseless killings. Amen. We have so much to thank God for. Senseless killings. Amen. Just shooting and stabbing and cutting for no apparent reason. We bless the Lord because it couldn't have been us, but by God's grace.
Amen.
So we're so grateful. Amen. We continue to pray that God blesses us in the area of the church. Amen. Can we say God is doing greater things?
God is doing greater things.
Come on. Can we say God is doing greater things?
God is doing greater things.
For that we thank the Lord. This time I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Which will be coming from Hebrews chapter 11. We read verses 1 through 8. Now on Sunday, we went over dealing with faith. And it was when God asked you to do something that what?
Doesn't make sense.
It just doesn't make sense. Amen. When God asks us to do something that doesn't make sense, we realize that then that is an act of faith and obedience to his word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we're going to continue on that. On Sundays we can't really delve into it like we need to. So tonight we're going to break it down a little further. Amen.
Amen.
Do we all have it? If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those that do not have it, we know it's where at?
On the screen.
On the screen. Amen. Let's start. Verse 1 reads, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. Amen. You know that's something with God. Mm-hmm. Amen. God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, when? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is
impossible to please him.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that
diligently seek
that what?
Diligently
seek him. By faith, Noah being warned of God
of things not yet seen,
moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heirs of righteousness, which is
by faith.
Heirs of righteousness, which is by
faith.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he
went out.
What? Not knowing whether he went. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and can the church say the word of the Lord?
Word of the Lord.
It's blessed already.
Blessed already.
Amen. You may be seated at this time. Amen. Tonight, we're continuing on faith. Amen. We're continuing on faith. And let's just go to the sixth verse for just one moment, because this is what we're going to deal with. The beginning of the sixth verse says, but without faith it is what?
Impossible to please him.
Without faith, it is not say maybe it's possible. Impossible. Or it's probable, or you might be able to, but without faith it's what?
Impossible.
Impossible to please God. There is nothing in between. There are no substitutes. In order for us to please God, we must have
faith.
Now, what is faith? Faith is the substance. That substance could be could be the assurance. It could be the support system. And back in those days, it was like a title guarantee. Amen. In other words, anybody ever buy a house? You get a car, they give you a title deed. Amen. You don't have a car yet, but you have the
title.
Amen. That is the substance. That is the assurance. That is the ironclad guarantee that is yours. But how do you get it? By faith. So you do not have to drive the car, because all you have to do is look at the guarantee. The title deed says it belongs to who? You. Well, how do you get it? By faith. Now, for some of us, just to go a little further, if you sign a title for a car or for a house, do you doubt whether or not that car or that house is yours?
No.
You what? Know that it's yours because you have the title deed. So he said, well, faith is the title deed. You are assured that that's yours. So it's the substance of things hoped for. So I said, well, I want that car. When they give you the title, you know what? It's yours. Amen. It's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence. That evidence means it's conviction or the confidence, amen, that it's yours. Well, we're dealing with faith. Faith is not based on what you see, but faith is based on the Word of God. Now, there are three particular things that we learn about faith in these first eight verses, which is very important for our Christian walk. Amen. And by verse 2 says, for by it, by what?
Faith.
The elders obtained a
report.
This report is a witness or a testimony. If you don't have faith, how do you have a testimony? So by faith, number one, the elders obtained a good report or a testimony or a witness. And the word that they use for this word for good report is martyrio. Martyrio in the Greek. In the English, we get the word
martyr.
Right? Martyrio. But in the English, we get the word martyr. That means to be a witness. Well, you cannot be a witness for God without faith. Amen. So tonight, let's check out our faith. Let's check out our faith. Amen. You obtain a martyrio, which is a witness. It is a testimony from God by faith. Amen. Now, when we think of faith, amen, it's not based on what we see or what we do. God looks at our reactions to his word to determine our faith. Now, there's some great men of God that were not mentioned in Faith Hall of Fame. Some great men of God that did some great works. In particular, Lot. Now, we know Lot, God called him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, amen. And he told Lot, he said, get thee out. But the thing about faith causes a prompt and an immediate reaction to God's word. Faith causes a prompt and immediate reaction to God's word. Well, the problem with Lot is the Bible said when God told him what to do, he lingered. That was not a complete act of faith and obedience. Because when God says move, it's time to
move.
And even after he knew what was coming, the Bible says that the angels had to take hold of Lot and his family and make them leave. So they're not mentioned. in Faith Hall of Fame because they did not act promptly and in obedience to God's word.
Amen.
But then the Bible does mention in the New Testament about Lot, amen, being a righteous man. But he's not in Faith Hall of Fame because his faith did not respond promptly to God's word. And then we all know about Job. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says about Job, there was not another man like Job in all the East. Mm-hmm. Amen. There was not another man that God bragged on like Job.
Right.
But yet Job, in all of his spiritual splendor, is not mentioned in Faith Hall of Fame. Why? Because when the rubber met the road, Job began to question God. Amen? So in order for us to have the approbation of God, in order for us to have God's approval, God expects some certain qualities in our life. God does not expect us to question Him when we don't understand what's happening in our lives, but He expects us to walk in obedience. Amen. So Job is not mentioned. Lot is not mentioned. Were they great men of God? Yes. Were they mentioned in the New Testament? Yes. But there were some character flaws. Though they were used of God and mightily used, there were character flaws that eliminated them from being in Faith's Hall of Fame.
Amen.
To be in Faith's Hall of Fame, you have to react promptly and immediately, and God has to have a good report. Amen. It's not important what anyone else thinks, it's what God thinks. And then verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now what's so important about this? Because things which are seen were not made out of things which do faith. It's not what you see, but it's what you believe. Once again, it's so important tonight that we understand. And God asking us to do things that we don't understand. Are asking us to do things that don't make sense. God does not expect that we should question His leading, but He expects us to react promptly and immediately.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a what kind of sacrifice?
More excellent.
Not just any kind of sacrifice.
More excellent.
But it was a more excellent sacrifice by which he obtained
witness.
That he was what?
Righteous.
So faith causes you to have a good report, and faith makes you righteous. Amen? Faith causes us to have a good report with who?
God.
Faith makes us righteous before who?
God.
Well, how do we know? Because it said God did what? Testified of his gift.
Amen.
Amen? So it's important tonight that we're trying to understand when God asks us to do something to our natural mind that doesn't really make sense. Amen. But when God asks or moves us in a certain direction, He does not expect us to question His leading. Amen. But we walk by faith and not by sight. Remember we read in Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. He said that no man is justified by the works of the law in the what? Sight of God. Our righteousness, our approval, our faith is not based on anything but God.
Amen.
Because God sees us when nobody else does. Amen. Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 3 says this. God is in every place. God is where?
Everywhere.
Can we say every place?
Every place.
Amen. When you leave church, God is
there.
Right there. When you go to work, God is
right there.
When you're driving down the street, God is
right there.
When you're shopping in the mall, as so many of us did this season, God is
right there.
But he says he's in every place. But not only is he in every place, but God observes us. He watches us. The scripture says, and he beholds what we do. He beholds the good and he also beholds
the evil.
So So in order for us to have the approval of God, we must do what's right in the sight of God. And then the scripture says, it is evident. What, when something is evident, that means it's what? Clearly seen. There's no guessing. It is evident that the just must live by tonight, how are we living? Amen. Is it by faith or is it based on what we see? Faith does not cause us to question God. As great as God bragged on Job, Job messed up when he began to question God. Amen. Job messed up. He began to question God. And then Job messed up because he said, my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of God. You messed up when you go that way. Amen. Because Job became self-righteous. We don't have time to get into all of that. But that caused him not, in all of his spiritual splendor, to be mentioned in Faith Hall of Fame. So in order to have a good report, we must have faith. In order to be righteous before God, we must have faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It says, by faith, verse 5, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had
translation.
But what happened before his translation? He had what?
Testimony.
A what?
Testimony.
Amen. Before his translation, he had this testimony. That he what?
Please God.
Please God. Amen. In order for God to see us and see our faith, we must do the things that are pleasing to God. And we're going to dwell on that for a few minutes here. Things that are what? Pleasing to God. Now, we do things to please one another, but what does God think? We do things to even please ourselves, but what does God think? Now, when translation, this means that Job went from life to heaven without dying. Amen. There are only two people in the Bible that went from life to heaven and did not die. That is Enoch and who?
Elijah.
Amen. So I guess if we want to be translated and not taste death, our name has to start with E. If your name's not E, we just say, oh, gotta die. Who in his name starts with E? Well, we all gonna die. No, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he what?
Please God.
Please God. Amen. Please God. Then verse 6 says, but without
faith.
Now, people say, well, I got a little bit of faith. I got this much faith. The Bible says, how receive ye the, how many of us got the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
How receive ye the Spirit? By the works of the law, by
faith.
For you to get the Holy Ghost, you have faith. God does not rescind or take that faith away once you get it. So what happens is how we start living our lives that determines where our faith is. Amen. And we went over it not too long ago in Mark chapter 11 when the disciples and the apostles were dealing with situations they didn't understand. They said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, I don't have to increase your faith. Just have faith in God. Can we go to Mark chapter 11? I think Mark chapter 11, verse 19 or 20. Go to verse 19. We're dealing with now being pleasing in the sight of who? Not just being pleasing, but being well-pleasing. When we're well-pleasing in the sight of God, that means God testifies of our righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Mark 11, 19, we saw there, it said, when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the They were dried up from the root. Amen. Now, the day prior to that, Jesus had cursed the fig tree. The next morning, they're going out of the city and the fig tree is dead from the what?
Roots.
Amen?
Amen.
And Peter calling to remember saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is
withered away.
He says, withered away. This is like today you have a vibrant, lively green tree in your yard, and the Lord comes by and curses it. Tomorrow the tree is dead. And it's not just dead in the limbs, but it's dried up from the This is God. Amen? No man can do this. Next verse says, and Jesus answering said unto them,
have faith in God.
You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? This is not something a man can do. This is something that only God can do. Amen? And one of the scriptures, I think, is recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when the Lord was dealing with the good man, the man that thought he was so righteous, and he said, Lord, what lacketh I? And he said, go sell all that you have and follow me. Tonight I wonder how many of us can say, Lord, I'm going to sell all and follow you. The scripture said the man went away very sorrowful because he had great possessions. And the Lord said, how hardly can a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples said, Lord, if they can't be saved, who then can be saved? Because their salvation at that time was dependent on what you possess. But I heard Jesus say, a man's life does not consist in the what?
Abundance
of things that he has. He said, Lord, who then can be saved? The Lord said, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Amen. So they said, Lord, who can be saved? He said, with men, it is what? Impossible. But with God, with men, and that's where we mess up at so often. We start depending on man. The Lord says plainly, he said, with men, these things are impossible. He said, but with God, what?
All
things are possible. Amen. What God tries to do, get us to do on a regular and a daily basis is get out of what man can do and get a dependency on God. Now that going through the eye of a needle has two representations. But when you think of a needle, how many know what a needle is? Right? When they had a passageway over in Israel, over in Jerusalem, that was called the eye of a needle, where the camel had to get down and had to completely get rid of all of his burdens, lay aside all of the weights, had to get down and crawl through on the knees to get through this needle. So he had to get rid of all of the extra baggage and luggage. And the only thing that the camel had to have was the camel's body, but he had to do what? Crawl through the needle. You know what God is saying? In order for you to be pleasing to me, get rid of everything. Just like he told the rich man, he said, go what? Sell all. I'm wondering tonight, how many of us are to the point where we will sell all? If God tells us right now, sell it all tonight, will we really sell all? Will we be willing to say, Lord, I surrender all. I'm not going to fight you. Or will we be like the rich man and go away very sorrowful? Amen. So the camel had to strip down to nothing and crawl through on his knees, a symbol of humility and humbleness, in order to go through the eye of the needle. All the other representation is a big camel going through a little needle. In any, whether it's the eagle that's over in Jerusalem or the eye of a needle, it represents an impossibility.
Amen.
But God.
Right.
He said it's impossible that this can happen but with God. What God wants us to do, brothers and sisters, we need to take our eyes off of everything that man can do. And our dependency must be on God. With men, these things are what? Impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Right now, what things will we hold on to in resistance to God? Would we be willing to sell all? He didn't say sell some things. He told him to do what? Sell it all. Tonight, is that, will we go that far with God? Will we get rid of everything to follow God? Or would there be some things that we just could not let go of? Amen. Some things that would hinder us. What are the things tonight that will cause us not to have faith in God? Because when we have faith in God, when God says that we do not hesitate, we do it promptly and we do it in obedience. When you don't have faith in God, when God tells you to do something, you procrastinate, you do the Job, and you reason with God, and you do the lot, and you just linger. Tonight, I wonder if God were to tell us right now, get rid of that, would you willingly do it? That's faith in God. That is an assurance and a confidence that He's going to work it out.
All right.
Right now.
Or will we hold on to it? Amen. Well, if you're going to hold on to it without faith, it is what?
Impossible to please.
Come on, y'all, help me out a little bit. I know we've had all of our little festivities and might be a little worn out. Amen. But without faith, it is what?
Impossible to please Him.
Impossible to please God. Not probable, not maybe. He said it's what?
Impossible.
You know, they did a research on all of the great men of God, for instance, the Henry Ford, who only had a sixth grade education, Edison, that only had 3 months of education. They said the one thing that they learned to do early in life is they all, you know, maybe we should all do this too. They said they took the library and they cut the word impossible out, because they didn't want to put any obstacles before them. Now, Henry Ford, he took more ridicule than anyone because he didn't have the education. Amen. And they said he didn't have the qualification. And when he talked about having a horseless carriage, everybody mocked him. The Wright brothers, they said, you can't do it. But they know, they said early in life, they cut the word impossible out of their dictionary. So when they got to that part of the dictionary, all they could know is that everything was now possible. Our problem, the reason in the church and in our personal lives, the reason that we can't get any further is because we listen to too many people that are making our situations impossible. You need to get rid of impossible with God. What? All things are possible. And without faith, it is the only thing that will make it impossible. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. A contraction is a combination of two words. Amen. I said, we're not here for a literature or English course, but a contraction is a combination of two words. So, I can, and the opposite of can is what?
Cannot.
I can't. So that is a contraction. We need to get rid of the contractions in our lives. I can, we don't need the contraction, cannot. I will, we do not need the contraction, will not. Amen? We need to get rid of all the knots in our life. Paul said, I what? Can. Amen. You know what? I don't want you to deface your dictionaries. But if all of the great men that are successful got rid of the word impossible, how much more should the church get rid of the word impossible when our dependency is on who?
God.
The Lord said, when they said how fast the fig tree was withered, he said, have
faith
in God. Tonight, this is a personal thing. Tonight is a personal thing. Amen. Do you really have faith in God? Well, if you have faith in God, are you acting in obedience? The only way that we can prove we have faith is we have to be obedient. Let's go down to, let's go to verse 7. Let's go to Hebrews verse 7, 11 and 7. We must act in obedience. to God. Faith, you know, when you believe God, you know, say, God told me to do something. When you start doing something for God, we cut all possibilities of retreat, of possibilities of turning around. When you have faith in God, you leave no possibility to retreat. You need no possibility of return or turning around, because we have faith in who?
God.
Well, somebody said, well, you can't do it. I said, you know what? I have to do it because I can't. Go back.
Come on, Elder.
I already started on my journey.
I got a benefit.
It might seem impossible, but I got to go through.
Right.
There is no potential or possibility for retreat.
Amen.
I cannot turn around because this is my faith in who?
God.
A lot of times we start for stuff for God, but we leave, you know, leave just the possibility in case I have to go back, just in case God might let me down. That's wrong thinking.
Come on.
Ain't going back.
We got to go forward.
Amen.
Because God will work it out. Amen. Verse 7 reads, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not
seen as yet.
Now, he's dealing with something that has not yet been seen. But he had faith in God. Amen. And like I said before, you know, when we started on this journey for St. Williams, initially, when we contacted them and they contacted us, this is just going to be short. They said, $389,000. I said, well, we won't do that. Amen. $389,000. When you look around, I said, well, how are we going to raise $389,000, right? So I said, well, we'll offer $200,000. We couldn't even do the $200,000. They said, are you crazy? We're not going that low. I said, well, $250,000. They said, no, not that low either. So they said, well, $300,000. So we agreed at $300,000. But listen, we know it's not here. We know we didn't have it. Amen. And even when we dealt with every financial institution, they said, you are not qualified. But the one thing they forgot about was
God.
Amen. And, you know, my wife and I, we went over, we dealt with one of the individuals, and he was telling us why all the reasons we couldn't do it. I said, well, there's only one reason we can't do it. He said, well, what's that? God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I said, God.
So
all in all, he said, well, we're a financial institution. We don't deal with faith. We deal with facts. I said, well, God supersedes or excel facts.
Come on, Elder.
Amen. So from when we started, June or something like that, every time we turn around, no. So then the other day, you know, after God, I'm telling you, it's not nothing we did. We know it's all. To God be the what?
Lord.
The other day, he sent a text. He's like, well, this doesn't really apply to you anyway. He says, laugh out loud. Amen. He said, this doesn't apply to you, but for everybody else, he said, I know already in the beginning you said this didn't apply. He said, but just some minor questions, he said, because we know about your faith.
Amen.
It wasn't what we did, but it's what God did.
That's right.
Because we stood on God's word.
All right now.
It should be a learning experience for all of us. Amen. Like I said, we started off, everybody else said, yes, I'm going to tell you the truth. In the beginning, I said, absolutely not. You know why? Because we never wanted to be a burden on the church.
That's right.
Church is supposed to be a place for families to be strengthened and unified. And it's never intended to be a place for families to be divided and under hardship. Church is a place, I repeat, for families to be unified and to be blessed. And never is it intended to be a place for families to be divided and under hardship. Amen. So in the beginning, I said, we don't want a hardship. Amen. But we had so many people working, trying to make sure that we could get in this church. So we thank God. But verse 7 once again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things that not yet
seen.
Amen. So now, this is where faith comes in. Because when we deal with an area with something that we have not seen, something that's not familiar with us, the first thing we have a tendency to do is doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. When we deal with something that we have not yet seen, the first thing we have a tendency to do is doubt. said, move with fear. He had not yet seen it, he was not familiar with it, but he did what? He moved. He did not stay stagnant. He was not locked. He did what? He moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he became condemned the world and became the heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Well, what was the thing that was not yet seen? Up until Genesis chapter 6, it had never rained. Never rained. God always watered the earth with the what? Mist. So now God tells Noah, he said, now you build an ark because I'm going to send rain and send a flood. Now that would have been nice. He's like, what do you want rain? What am I building something for? I don't know what rain is. He said, and what is a flood? Amen? What is this? But he did not question God. He said he moved with what? Fear. And began the preparation. Faith will cause us to prepare for what God has promised. Doubt will cause us to question. Doubt will cause us to find every reason why it won't work, instead of having confidence in the one and only reason why it will work, and that is God. So though it had never rained, amen. And that's why the people did not believe Noah, because they didn't know what rain was. Amen. So he's preaching about something that had never ever taken place. So immediately they were just like they were with Paul. He said, much learning has made you mad. You know, people don't understand when you're walking by faith. But when God gives you an individual plan, a call for your life, you have to walk by that faith.
Right.
Amen. The Bible talks about, I believe it's in Romans, according to the measure of faith. All of us do not have the same measure of faith, but we should all have a measure of faith. That measure of faith should cause you to walk in obedience to what God is telling you to do. Your measure of faith will not cause you to walk in obedience to what God is telling me to do, but it's what God is telling you to do. I believe that's in Romans chapter 12. It talks about the measure of faith. All of us should have a measure of faith, though it might not be the same as the next person. Something in our lives should prompt us to move in obedience to God, and that's the measure of faith. Well, back in Noah's days, they just could not do it because they could not see. My question for us tonight that we need to ask is, what direction of things have God? Now, there's a difference between God leading us and us leading ourselves. My question is, what direction has God led us in that we have stopped because we cannot see our way through? What direction is God leading us in? Now I'm talking about spiritually. God uses everything in our lives as a teaching moment to teach us something about his faithfulness. One of God's greatest attributes is that he is faithful. From Genesis, he was faithful. All the way up to Revelation, God is faithful. That is God's immutable, that is part of the immutability of his being or character, is that God is faithful. Whenever we get on God, it seems like that's all right. We ain't changing either. We're going to stay right with it. We're going to let God fix this one.
All right now, Elder.
Amen. God is faithful. All right. That's one of his qualities and characters that we don't have to question. So if you know and you have a prayer life, God speaks to us through our prayer life. If you know that God has told you something and we act in obedience to God, amen. Now, we don't want to be insulting. We don't call them Indian givers. Because they say, we don't want to be, right. Politically incorrect. But how many of you know that God does not turn back on his word? The Bible says that God's word will not return We use the scripture, that way we won't be politically incorrect. God's word will not return void. So if God has spoken something in your life, God did not change. God will not change.
Right.
It's the immutability of his counsel. God is saying it don't want to work. Amen.
He worked it out.
Amen. Yeah, devil. Can we say the devil's a liar?
Devil's a liar.
Amen. He tried to mess with me. How does he keep doing this? Every service, nevertheless, we are right. Amen. But God's counsel is immutable. If you know that God has spoken something into your life by faith, has God changed? Never.
Never.
So if God's spoken and you start in it and you turn, it's not God. That means that you're not walking or moving with fear and obedience. The only way we show God that we trust him and believe his faithfulness is we walk in obedience to his word.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I did all, but it's just a little bit. The Bible says, if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in what?
All points.
So our responsibility is walk in obedience. Verse 8 reads, of 11 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should afterwards see for an inheritance, did what?
Obey.
Faith causes us to do what?
Obey.
Obey. If you have faith, you walk in obedience.
Amen.
Amen. So Abraham was walking by faith, caused him to obey, and he went out.
Not knowing.
Now, most of us, we say, you know what? If I don't see it, if you don't put it in the paper, I'm not doing it. Amen. But he said he went out not knowing whether he didn't have the slightest idea. All he knows is God told him, he said, leave your kinsmen, leave your family, leave it all.
God.
Now, most of us, not in here because we're all right, we know on the outside. If God tells you to do something, we start questioning why. Instead of walking in obedience.
All right.
God wants us to be what?
Obedient.
Amen. Let us go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read a couple of verses here. Obedience causes us to be righteous. Righteousness is well-pleasing in the eyes of God. When you're righteous, you're what? Well-pleasing.
Amen.
In the eyes of God.
Amen.
Without faith, it is impossible to. So if we want to be well-pleasing in the sight of God, we must have. Verse 1 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. I can't present my wife's body, she can't present mine. You have to present what? Your bodies, to parallel what Jesus said, this means you got to sell all. You have to sell all. What is all? All is all. Amen. Whatever God tells you to do, that's all. A living sacrifice, holy and this means well-pleasing.
Amen.
Well-pleasing to God, acceptable to God, which is your
reasonable service.
It's just your reasonable service. Somebody said, well, do you know what all I did? You just did what was your reasonable service. Amen. Because of what God asks us to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye. The reason we need to take impossible out of our dictionary, the reason we need to get rid of some of those contractions, is because they cause us to conform to this world. But we must be transformed by the what?
Renewing
of our mind, that we might prove what is that?
Good
and
acceptable.
What is well pleasing? Good and acceptable.
Perfect.
And perfect what?
Will of God.
Will of God. Acceptable means well-pleasing. Will of God. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And we go to verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. You cannot have faith if you're not well-pleasing in the sight of God. You know, we often try to do what's right in the sight of others, but we fall short when it comes to the sight of God. Well-pleasing in whose sight? God's sight. Amen. Once again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says that we are not justified by the works of the law in the sight of who? God. We want to be justified by in the sight of who? God. If we were to stop right now, and it's so important that we take an individual assessment of our personal lives, not someone else's life. Don't try to figure out what they need to do or how they can come up better. Give them their remedies for their situation or their antidotes for how they can improve. But for our personal life right now, if we were to make it a personal assessment, what do we need to do to be pleasing in the eyes of God? What do we need to do to be pleasing in the eyes of God and to walk by faith? Verse 18 of Hebrews 13 reads, pray for us, for we trust we have a
good conscience.
You cannot have faith and be well pleasing in God if you do not have a
good conscience.
If your conscience, and we'll go over it in a few minutes, the Bible says if your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your conscience. Amen. So it's so important tonight that we have a what kind of conscience?
Good conscience.
We're doing a personal assessment of our spiritual walk to see if we're pleasing in the sight of God. A good conscience in all things, willing to live
honestly.
A good conscience, willing to live
honestly.
Well, how do you know you have a good conscience? Because I live
honestly.
Well, who do you live honestly in? The
sight of God.
This is what faith is. A good conscience. Living honestly in the sight of God. Because God seeth, not as man seeth. Man looks at what we put out, but God looks at our heart. Amen. Verse 20 reads, now the God of
peace,
that bore again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant, make you complete. We are only made complete through God. In what kind of work? Every good work. A good conscience, honest, and then we have to have what? Good works. Well, who decides whether our works are good or not?
God.
If we could get a God conscience to start living in a godly way, to do what's right inside of God, everything else would be all right. Amen, because God sees us where we are. Working in you that which is
well-pleasing.
In whose sight?
It's God's sight.
It's all about whose sight? God's sight. Well, you want to be well-pleasing in whose sight?
God's
sight. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 18. So we want to do what's good. We want to do what's right. We want to do what's honest. We want to have good works. And what kind of conscience?
Good conscience.
Those are the things that help us to be what? Well-pleasing in whose sight?
God's sight.
You know, just to get off the beaten path for a few moments, 1,000 years from now, would it have been worth it for what we did to get to where we will be in that time? Just think about it. If you, now this is really faith, if you can project yourself 1,000 years from now, Will you be in the presence of the Lord, saying forever, holy, holy, glory, glory?
Hallelujah.
Revelation chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11 or so, says, For thy pleasure were all things created. We were created for God's pleasure. Actually, let's go to that one right quick first. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Amen. I think sometimes we fail to realize, and we've been going over this in our ministers' meeting, we fail to realize why we were really created. We were not created for our own pleasure. Amen. We were created for God's pleasure. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Amen. Revelation 4, verse 11, then we'll go to 1 John chapter 3, and then we'll be almost finished. But tonight, we want to do the things that are well-pleasing in whose sight?
God's sight.
Because without faith it is?
Impossible to please.
Well, faith causes us to move in promptness and obedience to God.
Amen.
That will cause us to do the things that are not pleasing in his sight. Verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, why were you created? You want to know why you're here? It's in the Word. It says, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure were they all. You know why you were created? For God's pleasure.
Amen.
We are all here tonight for God's pleasure.
All right.
If we can ever get that in us. If we can ever recognize, well, why are you here? I'm created for God's pleasure. So, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I want to do always the things that are pleasing in thy sight. Tonight we were created for God's pleasure. Amen. We were created to worship, to praise, and honor. Just like those 24 elders and the angels, they were around the throne, glory, glory, and hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The only reason that God created us was for his pleasure.
Amen.
Now, we be getting this displeasure when we walk in disobedience.
That's right.
As long as we walk in obedience, we're in his pleasure. Now go to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll close here. Amen. Tonight, the only way that you can be pleasing in the sight of God is you have to walk by
faith.
Because without faith is what? Somebody said, well, I don't believe all that. You don't have to believe it. But God's word is true.
Yes.
Amen. We don't like to philosophize or create or try to go around it or circumvent what God says. We just want to live by the word.
Amen.
The word said without faith is impossible. So if you don't have faith, it's what? Somebody said, well, my life is not what it needs to be. Get your faith up there.
Yes.
Then everything that has been impossible for you now will become
possible.
By what? Faith. 18 says, my little children, let us not love in what?
Word.
In other words, talk salvation is time to end. Amen. Motion salvation, you need to put it to pass. I don't care how long you've been saved. He says, let us not love in word, neither in. Talking salvation is time to cease. It's time to do the things that are well-pleasing in his sight. Talk is for the approbation and approval of man. But when you live right, that's for God.
All right now.
Good conscience, good word, and honesty. Amen? But in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall. This is that substance again. Faith is the what?
Substance.
Faith is the substance, means the assurance. It's the title guarantee. There's no doubt. We shall assure our hearts before who?
God.
Once again. And hereby we know that we are of
the truth.
A lie will not assure your heart. A lie will not cause you to have faith in God. A lie will not cause you to be pleasing to God. Amen. Shall assure our hearts before him. For if our
heart condemns us.
If our
heart.
That's why I said tonight we want to make a personal spiritual assessment. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee, as I said unto Saul, my servant, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee, I have searched and I have tried thee, and thou cometh up short. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. But if they red as crimson, they shall be as wool. But come now and let us reason together. If ye be willing and obedient, I, the Lord, will bless thee. But if thou be stubborn and stiff-necked, if thou refuse my counsel, surely destruction follow. Thus saith the Lord unto thee, be still and know that I'm God. I'm not a God that looketh from the outside, but I know every thought of your heart and every thought of your mind. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee, be still and know that I'm God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. My salvation is not dependent on anything but God. So the scripture says, for if our hearts condemn us. That's a mighty scripture. We don't have to worry about anybody else condemning us. We know what's in our lives. If our hearts condemn us, God is what?
Greater
than our heart. And the scripture said he what? If our hearts condemn us, you know, and it's so important tonight, stop trying to get the approval of everybody else and have God be displeased with us. It's time to get God's good pleasure.
Amen.
It's God to be pleased inside of God. To be pleasing, you must be truthful, you must have a good conscience, and you must have honesty.
Amen.
Anything that's hypocritical or lie or anything that's not true but not cause you to be pleasing inside of God. If God is greater than our heart and he knoweth, there's nothing hid from God. Beloved, thank you, Jesus. If our hearts condemn us not, then have we
confidence.
Now, once again, we said, now faith is the what? Substance of the assurance of things hoped for, and is the evidence of the conviction of things. This word conviction also means confidence.
Amen.
So let's go back up again. Let's go back up. Now let's explain faith. From John's viewpoint, go back up one more time, please. He said, hereby we know that we are the truth and we shall assure our... Now, faith is the assurance, a substance of things hoped for. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before who?
God.
We're talking about what? Faith. Amen. Now go back down to verse 21, I believe it was. It said, beloved, if our... So everything takes place where? In the heart. Amen? If our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And the last verse read, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we are obedient. Faith causes us to move promptly and in obedience.
Amen.
To who? God. And nothing else counts but God. And do those things that are
pleasing in his sight.
Well, we made it most of the way.
We just switch up for the ultimate. Amen. Faith causes us to always do what's right in whose sight?
God's sight.
So as we lead tonight, as we all stand, the elders and the ministers come forward. As we lead tonight, can we do a personal evaluation and a personal assessment? What do we look like in the sight of God? Well, how do we determine that? Do we walk in truth? Is our hearts honest before God? Do we have the assurance in our hearts? Do we have confidence in our hearts? The Bible says this concerning God. God said, man looks at the what? Well, what does God look at our hearts? Even as we leave tonight, amen, and as we meditate on what we've heard, can we just get it right in our hearts? As long as we have it right in our hearts, it said, then we have confidence towards God, and we know that he hears our prayer because we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you ever just take a few minutes and say, Lord, on the real side of life, what do you think about me? Not what does anyone else think. What does God think about me? I'm not going to talk about you. I want to be right too. What does God think about me? Can we say as the scripture said, and whatsoever we ask we receive of him because we keep his and do those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. Amen.